Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This is G.R. Mobley, and this is live, and the phone lines are open. I'll get to that number in just a second, but this show is the only show. Let's be clear. There is no other show that is currently competing on air or at any point in time during the day, nor on TV will you find any show that is providing you the absolute solution to reclaiming the Republic and actually getting the federal government back into compliance with the Constitution. My friends, well over 95% of every problem we're experiencing, whether that be building your home, whether that be your work, or anything else, almost 95%, if not more than that, if not possibly all of our problems, stem from an unconstitutional federal government. And so you are listening to the only show that has the actual solution in getting the federal government back into the framework and into the scope of the things that they're supposed to be doing and allowing the states to do their job in being that intimate government with the citizens, their people, or we the people. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org, as well as RepublicReview.org. And so that number to call in is 215-867-8255. And that would also equate to 215-TOP-TALK, if you like the phonetics of the words there for you. I would also like to point out, earlier in the week, I kind of mentioned that the Constitution Club has really, you know, made a real focus of reclaiming the Republic, and we're working together in trying to hopefully, because I don't want to have to duplicate anything if it's already being done out there, and I think that they're actually doing quite a bit. And so I would encourage everybody to going out. It's free to become a member. If you are looking for real like-minded, constitutional-minded folks, by all means, I would get out there and join and or check them out at least. Now, you don't have to join to take a look at a lot of the content, but you do need to join if you want to comment and if you want to get involved and drill down into the counties of the states and so forth. But anyway, I welcome them as a part of this symbiotic family that is growing, and hopefully we will be able to obtain the synergy required to getting some real ground movement going within the states and getting people informed as to what they need to do and what we need to focus on, because that's really what's important. The problem isn't necessarily whether people have passion, whether people know what's right and wrong. It is really, what are we focused on? Are you focused on an issue that really has no bearing on what our problems are or how to solve the problem? And I'll give you a good example of that. I know that the abortion, Roe v. Wade, was early 70s, right? And there have been millions, if not probably $1 billion, spent since then in trying to overturn and change that outcome. How close are we today to changing that outcome? Well, some people say, well, once we get enough people on the Supreme Court, I disagree. I believe that what we really have to do is we have to call the federal government out for really crossing the boundaries. But it's not about abortion. It is about the Constitution. The federal government has no delegated authority to determine life, to determine health care, to determine the privacy of health care for a woman. None of those things have any constitutional grounding for the federal government to step in. Now, I will tell you that if the federal government wants to create a law against abortion, they can do that. But that law is only valid per Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 17, that the federal government or Congress has full legislative authority over the District of Columbia, and that is it. So they can pass laws till the cows come home for District of Columbia, and they can be just as tyrannical as they want to be and probably watch everybody living in the District of Columbia selling their house and moving into either Virginia or Maryland. But the bottom line is that they do not have any constitutional authority over abortion. But it's not necessarily about abortion, because when you focus on the one tentacle, then the monster, the Leviathan, can shift all of its energy in all sorts of ways to basically keep you from succeeding. That's why we have to go after the monster itself, the non-compliance, and the real monster is the not federal government's non-compliance with the Constitution. If we focus on that, and if everybody works at getting the federal government in compliance, the process is very simple. It is just getting your state legislators to actually stand up and audit the Constitution and force them to move forward. Now, if the outcome is that we may not like some of the amendments or some of the changes, well, that's because we need to make sure that our state legislators clearly understand. But I truly believe that once this starts, there won't be an outcome that we won't be happy with, because everything will be better than what we have today, which what we have today is literally an unlimited, unchecked federal government that thinks it believes it can do anything and everything they want, even killing people like Lavoie Finicum. And so we have to change this. We have to get back to the form of government that the framers had instilled. And there really is only one place in doing that. And again, that is your state legislator. So when somebody calls and says, we got to do a rally at the National Mall. No. We got to go over to our own state, our state capital, wherever that is. If it's Mordor in California, or if it happens to be Cheyenne in Wyoming, it doesn't matter. That's where you have to take your marches, and that's where you have to take your voices. I'm going to tell you right now, your state legislators are not prepared for you. I'm telling you, Congress is more than ready, because they've had all sorts of marches and they're in there going, bring it on, because nothing you can say or do. You guys are just a part of the distraction. And that's all that is. But your state legislators, that's a little bit different, because they know you know where they live. They know you know them. It's a lot more intimate in that government relationship. And that is why throughout the Federalist Papers, Madison, Hamilton, and Jay didn't say too much about it, but other framers did talk about it, that the people in the states with their state legislators had a much closer and more intimate relationship. And that is why the states were supposed to have the advantage in keeping the federal government in check, period. So let me move on towards some of the obligatory things that I, you know, like to say. And one of those things I love saying and love doing is groveling. If for some chance you have some passion and you have some acknowledgement and cognitive thoughts of the fact that we are about to lose this republic and our constitution, and that we're really at the precipice, we've probably 2 to 5 years from going off that precipice, that if you want to help, you're more than welcome to help. Just send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and I will answer you, and I will engage you, and I will give you, I think, meaningful work and help, because it's about getting data and helping analyze that. And it doesn't take much. You don't have to be an engineer. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't even have to be a plumber. You can just literally be who you are. And I believe if you've got a computer and you're competent with a computer and a phone, you can be a very dangerous weapon understanding the Constitution. And that's what's important. Well, as always, I did check the news today and I went through it. I even looked out my window and I could not see any sign of the federal government relinquishing any of its unconstitutional and its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers that it has over us. And so the only thing we can do is we have to learn to work together. We have to pull out that secret recipe that the framers used. And that recipe is literally this, that we have to put aside our differences and we have to put aside our self-interests in working together so that we can actually overcome this tyranny that we're dealing with today. And so I believe we can do it. I know we can do it. I just believe that we need to start getting motivated And that's one of the reasons why I kind of go through some sessions of this show. I'll just kind of focus on motivation. I'll just kind of go through a history of what Clinton did, history of Obama's tyrannical powers and his assertions and so forth, and ask you, what is it going to take? Those are my favorite questions. What is it going to take to motivate you to get involved? Does somebody have to be literally beaten? Does somebody have to be tortured in your family? Do you actually have to see somebody go missing or get shot? What does it take? Do we need to move you into the war zone of Chicago or the war zone of Baltimore to understand how bad it is and how bad it will get? Because, you know, those aren't outliers. Detroit, Chicago, what you see in those cities, as well as Baltimore, Atlanta, you're going to start seeing those same things in Seattle and San Francisco, all of these strongholds of progressive leadership and progressive thought. All the bad thoughts are coming out of those progressive strongholds. And so I will just leave that with you to cogitate, to ruminate on, as you have to ponder, when is it that you are going to choose to put aside some of these things you like to do, but really have no benefit for you? Because we all do that. It's called opportunity cost. What is it that it's going to take to get you to make those choices that will actually benefit you over the things that you're doing that you could be doing something far more impact, you know, have a greater impact in your life and other people's lives? As you can tell, I'm at a hard break, and I'm probably going to take that time to take a quick drink and lubricate the tongue. And when we come back, I'll be ready to fire off another diatribe. So I will be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue. And so I will, as I was telling you, now that I've got a good lubricated tongue, I can get going. I have to admit that I tend to grind on some of my biases towards the conservative entertainers. I spent a lot of my time and a lot of my life, I consider it in some ways kind of illuminating, at least I thought so, when I listen to conservative people talking about the problems and getting more informed of what's going on and understanding how bad it is. And I like using the metaphor of a train wreck. That if you can imagine, you know, the center hub of the world or the United States where all trains go into, it's kind of like the mother port. And it literally has tracks going in all 360 degrees direction coming in. And that every train is coming home on every track. And they're coming in full bore and they have no brakes. Every single train is just going to really just crash into each other in this huge train wreck. And so we know it's going to be bad. And we know that, you know, there's statistics and information that we may want to know, but there's all sorts of details that, you know, it just gets overboard when we start getting into, you know, the types of injuries and how each individual person may suffer and so forth. I guess the point I'm trying to use with this metaphor is, you know, it's bad, you know, it's ugly. And all the time you're sitting here watching this train wreck happen, and it's happening in slow motion. It's going to take 5 more years, folks. And then it's over. You've heard me say this, we have 2 to 5 years. And all this time, this train wreck is going to occur. This is all going on in slow motion. And as we see the bending metal and we turn away and then we look back and go, oh yeah, that's bad. Oh, look at that. It isn't going to get any better. It won't get better. As a matter of fact, as they start undisclosing more of the deep state, as they start undisclosing more and more, people think, oh, well, you know, Kavanaugh, he's going to make it better. No. As a matter of fact, he's biased and he's jaded in big government. There's never going to be a Supreme Court, regardless if you get everybody replaced from Sotomayor and Ginsburg and all of them. Get them all replaced with, you'd have to replace every Supreme Court jurist with me, GR. You'd have to get 8 clones of me and put me on the Supreme Court so that I could then start ruling in opinions and actually start basically chastising the president and Congress for failing to do what they should have been doing. And then we would basically call upon the states, because this is where it has to begin. It has to begin at the state legislators. Even if the president dismantled 5 really bad departments like the EPA and like energy and like education, healthcare, let's say he literally gets away with disbanding and getting rid of Obamacare and all of those things, that doesn't keep the next president from coming in, because the paradigm has been set. The die is cast that everybody believes that they can get away with doing these things. It's only when the states step up and assert their authority where people realize that they can't get away with it anymore. It's like when the parents get up and they tell the child, you're done. That's it. You know, it's not even timeout time. It's paddle time. We're going to the woodshed. And if you've had that type of parent, you know what you're going to be getting. You know what you deserve is coming to you with quick justice and what do they call that? Anyway, there's a word for it. It eludes me, and I always get it like this. So I'm just going to move forward. But the whole point is that you know you've got what you got. It's called your coming ups, and you get your comeuppance. And so the question I have is, because like I said, I like to grind on conservative entertainers, but does America need more entertainment, or does America need solutions? Solutions can only come from leaders, and during the days of the framers, they didn't have a lot of entertainment, nor did they have time for it. Their lives weren't much different than ours. They were dying of the busies. They had crops to take care of. They had work to do. Life was hard. Life back then was not only hard, they actually needed big solutions because they were well aware of their circumstances, unlike today. they knew that they could not just rest on their laurels, that they kind of won a Revolutionary War. It was very clear that after the Revolutionary War and after the treaties of Paris and every continuing treaty with Britain, Britain had no intention in honoring that treaty, and that we were going to have to face off again with Britain and maybe Europe again. Because we had Spain to the south, we had Spain to the west, we had France to the west and to the north, and Britain to the north as well. And my point is that they understood their circumstances, and they weren't going to dilly-dally and consume their life with idle things that have no merit and have that the consequences of not getting to work were very real to them, and that's why they took action. And so even though there are a lot of similarities from then and to today, there is a vast difference between today's mores and back in those days where they had a much more moral society. But those who are coming into society, are they fools or are they wise men? And if you look back then, they were really producing wise men, men of providence. And I say that because if you look at the real difference between back then and today, today our education system is deliberately producing fools. And if you need evidence of that, I just ask you to watch any episode of a Man on the Street interview. Sean Hannity does that. I think Jay Leno used to do that. Most entertainers, they like going out there and actually flaunting how stupid Americans are. Do you need more evidence than that? No. We seem to have an abundance of fools today. And you know what they say about a fool and his money? Well, let's just flip the coin on that and let's just make that liberty. Because the same thing can be said about a fool and his liberties. Are your liberties preserved by entertainment, or are they preserved by education? Because our kids are well entertained, and it seems like our adults today are well entertained. And I'll let you ponder on this point so that you can discover the fact of this matter. And it comes to this. So ponder on this question. Are entertainers leaders, or can a leader be an entertainer? Because the two cannot mix, and I'm telling you why. I believe that there are entertainers who want to lead, but they have a lack of vision and they have a lack of capacity to lead because they cannot walk away from their empire, if you want to call it that. They are guardians and they're jealous protectors of their market. I do not believe if any of these men understood that there was truly a solution, which of them would walk away and get behind Republic Review. You've got Beck. Beck used to be a real educator. He used to get out there and teach and so forth. But it seems how he came up from the ranks of entertaining, and it seems to me like he is stuck in entertaining. Levin is just growing and growing in his entertainment. He entertains abound from his radio show, and now he's on TV as well, just like Beck. Rush, I mean, he grew to the epitome of success in entertainment, there's no doubt. And then he had some problems. He had some personal shortfalls. But the problem is that none of these men, even Hannity, Wilkow, all of these men, I mean, men and women, it doesn't matter. Even, Tommy Lauren or whatever, see this new big hit that's coming onto Fox. These people are very smart. They're very articulate. But do they have the solution? Can they give you the process of what we precisely have to do? And are they willing to put it out there so that you can criticize it? Because mine's there. I'm done. I've put it out there. Nobody's refuted it. I've had constitutional scholars look at this and they go, well, I don't like this. Yeah, it'll dismantle your gravy train, your trough of federal funding for your education system. It will dismantle the welfare state. It will dismantle the education. This is what we need, and this is the medication that will be a bitter taste, but it and it may lead us down a road of austerity. But that road of austerity, we will be able to come back as a much stronger and better republic than if we do not partake of this medication. I can guarantee you, and actually Milton Friedman in his book Free to Choose says the same thing, that we're far better off. The sooner we start taking the medication, the better off we will be. Yeah, there's going to be, you know, the like the addict, you know, overcoming the growing, or not the growing pains, but the dependencies and overcoming those addiction pains that you have and so forth to that trough. But eventually we will all come up stronger and this nation will be a much stronger nation with that as well. And so I realize that I really only have seconds to keep going. So I'm going to kind of leave that question for you. Are these leaders in entertainment or are they strictly entertainers and can they lead? I'll let you ponder on that. And then I'll be right back after word from our sponsors with a little bit more to elucidate this issue. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And so let me just kind of move forward with this final thought on this, because I don't want to grind this for the entire show, because I could, but I don't want to. I just want to state this, that it's impossible for somebody to maintain an entertainment sphere and also start leading. Because once somebody actually has a bona fide solution that you can lead on, that this is what we have to do, then you can no longer dance around. Now you have to face the tough questions and you have to hold your ground. And you have to get out there and you have to start focusing. Because if you truly have the solution, then you really need to focus on how to implement that. You have to start working with people and you have to start pulling the people together. It's not about putting together a march on SEMA or march on DC or a march anywhere. It's not about a one-day event. This is a long process, and that process is via the state legislators. It is about getting your leaders to lead, because that's what we need. We need leaders just like the framers had leaders. If you understand the Constitutional Convention and what led up to that, or better yet, what led up to the Revolution, it were constitutional committees of correspondence. The committees of correspondence were working together as Britain had disbanded the legislative or the sovereign governing bodies of the colonies. When they did that, these leaders did not go home and just basically start following Britain's lead. They continued to lead by setting up these committees of correspondence. They started coordinating and working together in forming the first Continental Congress. They didn't go and create an election to say or do polls. They did their job. And that's what we need today in state legislators, people who are willing to do their job. We don't want people that are going to give us excuses on why they can't do their job. And I hope that some of these state legislators are listening, because they need to understand that they're stepping into a role of leadership, that we have expectations of them, that in doing these things, in supporting them to do these things, we expect them to get the job done. We don't hire people to just kind of fail, right? I mean, who hires an employee to just fail? I mean, that may be nice as a philanthropist, but if you're a business and you want to keep your doors open, you need those employees to succeed. You need them to excel at succeeding so that you can grow your business. And in this particular case, we need to excel in leading. And so I'll just leave it at that. I truly believe that when you start really evaluating and spend more time listening to these great conservatives of entertainment. I just don't have the time anymore, because I'm busily working on a solution. And so I will extend my groveling now and leap it into this. If you want to join me, if you want to join others, give me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I will point you towards different organizations, and I will definitely point you towards work and research that you can start doing that will truly help us get to where we need to be. So let me kind of get into some of the news, because what I was going to do, and I don't have time. So let me get into some interesting things, because I want to rail on some other issues, because it goes down to that what is it going to take thing, right? I'm not sure if you heard, but in Sandston, Virginia, a homeowner got really tired of the kids at the school bus wandering onto his property and leaving trash and doing crap on his property. So he made a decision as the property owner and the sovereign of his own property. He erected a electrical fence. And now the kids, you know, got the message. They can't go on his property anymore without consequences. They'll get shocked. So what they've done is what this homeowner's really done is, I don't think he's ended the fact that he has to pick up trash on his property. He's just caused them to have to exert more effort in, you know, getting the trash on their property, because now they have to throw it over the fence. And so one of the things, or actually two things, that the homeowner was actually quoted for saying is, he says that these kids don't respect other people's land. And he also said, I pick up trash every day from these kids. And so the question is, what is the real problem that he's trying to solve? Now, that fence does not, like I said, keep kids from throwing trash over it. Now, maybe he could put up trees and shrubberies and so forth that would make it really hard, but then there may be trash in his trees and what have you. But here's the real question. Who's to blame? Why is it that we have a systemic problem with our kids today? Well, if you haven't listened to the show for any period of time, then you have no idea. But if you've been listening to this show and you've heard me comment on this, it's the same thing with school shootings. It's the same thing with the rampant crime. What's going on in all of these dilapidated cities of blight? It's our education system, my friends. Our school system is the problem. They are not teaching morals. You know, we have empirical data that proves that we've become an immoral society since they took prayer, the Bible, and those types of things out of the school. And in addition to that, before they even started doing that, they took the teaching of the Constitution and they started injecting revisionist history in the 50s. And that was the beginning of the debasing of our society. If you want to solve this problem, guess what? The federal government's not going to change because they've already got a stranglehold on your education system. As I mentioned yesterday, that most states in the union now have laws on their books for education purposes that require your children to self-identify what their sexual orientation is by fourth grade. I know this is in the on the books in Washington and most of the blue states and purple states, that's what they've accepted, and that's the policies that they're setting. What's going to end up happening, and you know, if you're driving right now, I want you to pay really good close attention to what's going on the road, because what I'm going to tell you, I don't want you to have an accident over. But let me go back 100 years. 100 years ago, the people of this great nation could not fathom that we would be at a point where they would be teaching sex education in the school system. And in the 50s, because there were a few teenage pregnancies, they said this is a problem and the best way to address it is by injecting sexual education into the school so that the kids understand what they're doing. That was the beginning of it, and that's the same time they took the Bible, Christ, and all of these religious mores out of our textbooks and started sterilizing our education system, preparing it for secular progressive doctrine. And so what ended up happening is they started teaching sexual education to the demise, or actually to the unwitted people 100 years before that. 50 years, 10 years before that. And so in the 60s, when the sexual revolution or the counterculture revolution took off, you know, people would go, well, you know, this is good, but there is just no way that we would be promoting homosexuality. And it was just a matter of a couple of decades later that the school system in its curriculum started teaching homosexuality as an alternate lifestyle. And at that point in time, people, if you asked any citizen when they were starting to ram that down the throats of the kids, they were saying there's no way America would ever accept homosexual marriage. Well, guess what, friends? It's not us. It's the kids that are replacing us. It is the kids that are coming out of school that have been indoctrinated through this progressive secular system. And that's why they've not only implemented, but they have started to embrace all of this secular progressive dogma. That is why we're dealing with the mores and problems that we're dealing with today. And that's why I say the empirical data is more than overwhelming that if you want to make this a moral nation again, inject prayer, inject the scriptures, and inject the curriculum that we had prior to the secular progressives ramming down their social engineering curriculum down our throats. It's that simple, really. But who has the guts, so to speak, to actually implement that? Well, it's not really for a king to decide. If the republic was thriving, if the states had their sovereignty over their own education system, then we would be able to determine to what level of social or engineering and organizational behaviors we wanted to inject into our kids at school. And we would actually start seeing the vast differences of what's going on in California and what's going on in the red states, and why we want to get back to those programs and curriculum that instill good morals and good citizens, because then this poor man wouldn't have had to spend the money on having to erect a fence. Oh, and I'm sure the hardware folks are really happy that this problem exists, but if you look at the overall cost to society, I'm sure the hardware person or the hardware store that sold them this, if they were honest, moral loving people, then they would probably just relish on the fact that if we could just implement these programs and getting back to that, he would much rather sacrifice his sales. That's just the same thing with these conservative entertainers. if they're real leaders, they would be happy to sacrifice their market for actually surrendering to the solution. And so that's where leadership separates. And so this hard break is where I have to separate real quick. So I'm going to take a few, and I will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so, we're back. And I'm not sure if most people know, because I don't think a lot of people know this, but there actually is a listen line. If you're on travel and you want to dial in to listen, there's supposedly a line, and because I'm not out of the studio to have to listen to myself, but it's a 605-313-0599 number. So if you happen to be on travel and you want to just dial in to listen, you can. And again, that number is 605-313-0599. I think that's a South Dakota number or something like that. But anywho, speaking of the Dakotas, that was a great segue, right? I happen to notice in the news that it seems like Republicans never learn the strategy of a campaign. And this story happens to, I think, go to that heart. I think it's great that GOP candidates are starting to go after their progressive opponents and truly calling them out and land-basting them and starting to land blows. But if you do not have a strategy to be able to land blows one week after the next as you unleash all of these unsavory things about your opponent, then you really need to bide your time. And I'm a huge advocate for going out and getting and paying for a subscription. I truly believe that the state party should be paying for an annual fee for a subscription so that every GOP county chair has access so that they can actually put people in and do the research to get a criminal report and all of that type of stuff with LexisNexis. You have to pay for that type of stuff, but you can get it. And the point is, why is it that we're not disclosing all of these unsavory things about you know, the opponents and the candidates, and it always comes out after they get elected. Oh, this guy's a pedophile, or oh, this guy's, you know, has all sorts of infidelity, or this person is, you know, been extorting money or has been guilty of blah, blah, blah. We do a really bad job because we try to play above board. As I have told you, when you understand the scale of liberty and those people on the extreme end of the scale of liberty, on the liberty side, they just want to help people understand the accuracies and the truths of what they need to do so that they can make the right decisions, so that they can be free to make those decisions. They do not want to compel anybody. So they always play nice. They live by the golden rule and so forth. And I believe you need to live by the golden rule. And I think you should be able to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And when it comes to politics, I honestly believe you need to expect that they're going to do a background check on you. And if you've got any arrests, if you have any bones in your closet, they're going to come out. That's the whole point of vetting, right? That's why the chairs and the counties and legislative districts have their vetting process. And so they ask you these questions. Is there anything that will expose you, to give you an unsavory taste in the voters' mouth where you would possibly lose this election? So with that, I truly believe that is you're only playing on equal ground when you start doing those things and when you have a strategy in exposing your opponent for all of the things that they have done that can bring question to their ability and their qualifications for the position they are seeking. So anyway, in North Dakota, with 2 months to go until the midterm election in November, the GOP Senate candidate, Kevin Cramer, released an ad attacking incumbent Democrat Heidi Heitkamp on her late-term abortion stance. And I think that's great that he's doing that. The problem is that he's doing it now. If you understand elections, the only thing that really matters is the final momentum. So I believe Kevin Cramer should have waited to going after her on this one issue, unless he's got some really good stuff. He needs to save his best and his most impactful blows on her towards the very end, because what you want, and you have to have momentum. It is momentum that wins the last part of the race, not the beginning, not the middle. It is at the very end of the race when you need to have that momentum. You need to have the stamina to make it through the race, but you need to have that surge and momentum to carry you across the finish line ahead. That is how championships are won. They're won in the last quarter. They're won in the last minutes. They're not won one-third before or halfway. They are won at the end. It is the finish line that really matters, and that's why you really want to start picking up your momentum towards that last month. And so I'm not sure. We'll have to see if this backfires on him because he unleashed it too early. I hope he has a lot more to go after her, that this is just one issue that doesn't get just swept under the rug. He has to, and every good conservative candidate out there, if you want to run in politics, you have to do all of the research. You have to have the dirt to be able to throw it, because when it comes to survival, especially when it comes to surviving and protecting our liberties, we have to start fighting just as dirty. You know, I believe, I think this is in the Bible, but I believe it's stated that when a woman is about to lose her to a rapist or what have you, that it is far better for her to die fighting than to accept what is happening. And I believe that's the same thing with everything we do in life. We have to be willing to exert every bit of energy to fight. And that's what we have to do. It is a dirty fight, and it there are going to be bruises. There's going to be cuts. You don't get into a fight and think, yeah, I just have to comb my hair when I'm done. No, I'm sorry. You have the wrong paradigm when it comes to politics and the fight. This political war that we are facing, it literally has no prisoners. It only has winners and losers. And we don't have time to try to, you know, win the next one. That is why this Wyoming race is so critical for us. That is why getting Wyoming and getting Rex Rammel, who is the Constitution Party candidate, to get the Republican voters to focus on what's better for Wyoming than what's better for the party. I think it is far better that the Republican Party take a hit and lose with Mark Gordon, who is clearly a progressive. He doesn't deserve the Republican label, and anybody voting for Mark Gordon, who's running for governor in Wyoming, do the research on this man. He may be a really nice guy, but he's a progressive, and he supports the Agenda 21 type of crap. He supported John Kerry. He supports the progressive agenda. And so when it comes down to it, he has no place of wearing a Republican label or a lapel pin on his lapel. You understand that we have to get our people, conservatives and good constitutionalists. I heard today that Rex Rammel might be a loose cannon. And I asked that person, would you rather have a loose cannon that is kept in check by your legislators, or would you rather have a soothsayer who double speaks wearing a Republican label and makes the legislatures feel guilty for voting against a Republican governor who wants to implement more Agenda 21 programs and issues? I think it's the snake in the grass you have to be worried about, not the cannon. And as a matter of fact, I don't believe Rex Rammel is necessarily a loose cannon. And I'm convinced that we'll get him on the show. And I'm convinced, because I've had him on the show already, I am convinced that he is the only path forward if Wyoming does not want to end up dealing with more bad progressive policies and progressive laws and government. This political fight, this is the final revolution. This is the final war. There is no doubt in my mind. There will not be a civil war in America. All these people that are saying that we're going to face a civil war, I'm sorry. There may be some good punches and shots taken amongst these outlier groups. And when I say outlier groups, I'm just talking about those fringe people that, you know, whether they be the white separatists, because that's a very small fringe. The same thing with the Black Lives Matter, the Black Panthers, communists, and so forth. They are fringes, but we're allowing them to rule us. And I'm telling you, the fringe group, the communists, have literally taken over the Democratic Party. I ask you to go read the Democratic platform today, what they passed in the 2016 election, the national platform. And then while you have that open, just glance through Karl Marx and Engels's Communist Manifesto and the 10 planks. The 10 planks is a very simple thing to get your mind around. Then go through the Democratic platform, and you will recognize clearly that the Democratic platform is the Karl Marx 10 planks of communism on steroids. There's no doubt about it. They want to control every facet of our life. And if we're going to change that, we have to reclaim the Republic. I am G.R. Mobley. I am reclaiming the Republic, but I need your help. Remember, it's info@reclaimingtherepublic.org if you want to get involved. Thank you so much, and I will be back tomorrow, same time. Thank you much. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review, so please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty.